A Unitarian Theology of Emotional Struggle. Oh boy, aren't you glad you came. Not what you usually think of when we speak of William Ellery Channing, a pillar of Unitarianism. A Unitarian Theology of Emotional Struggle. Well, I like this a lot because it's human. I like to talk about things human and real that we can each relate to as individuals and that we can relate to as a congregation. Now, it's true that Channing was an incredibly influential preacher. His most famous sermon was entitled Unitarian Christianity, which he preached in 1819 and was really the seed of American Unitarianism. He led in the break from Calvinism, Orthodoxy, and saw human nature as good, rejecting the doctrine of predestination and the depravity of humanity. But today we're focusing on an unusual aspect of his teaching. It's an unusual approach that I really came across when I was studying one of the UUA's curricula called What Moves Us. It's a look into Channing's theology of emotional struggle. He believed that internal emotional struggles strengthen moral character. We've heard that before, no pain, no gain. Well, that's not exactly what he meant. He really sees emotional struggle as the crucible in which we can grow our sense of morality, which then can lead us into living into those values. These concepts raise several questions for us. How might we use our own internal emotional struggles to strengthen our moral character and our liberal faith? Human struggle, that's the topic for today, through the eyes of Channing. And this is all based on Channing's understanding of human nature that he articulated in a sermon entitled Likeness to God. Likeness to God. So that gives you a kind of idea of what his thought of human character was. Now, yeah, I'm using the God word because that's what Channing used. And this is all about your human nature. It's about being human. It's not about whether you're Christian. It's not about whether you're a theist. It's not about whether you're a Buddhist. This is about whether you're human. That's what we're talking about today. And we are all, as I have said before, we are all more human than otherwise. Our greatest characteristic is our humanity. So if you're human, this one's for you. I'm going to invite you to go inside for a moment and to open your minds and your hearts and your spirits to find that place within that is open to hearing things in a language that may not be so resonant with you, that is open to growing your soul. Moving a little bit away from our minds, a little bit down into our hearts, keeping those minds open and alert, but not closed and so certain that we're right, that we've got the perfect answer. It doesn't exist. So we're going to be talking about human suffering. We're going to be talking about struggle. I want to read to you a poem by my colleague Nancy Schaefer. It's entitled A Theology Adequate for the Night. Read, A Theology Adequate for my humanity, a theology adequate for my human struggle, a theology adequate for just being. She writes, "Not God as unmoved mover, one who set the earth in motion and then withdrew, not the one to thank when those cherished do not die, for providence includes equally power to harm. Not a God of exactings as if love could be earned or subtracted. But this may work in the night, something that breathes with us as others sleep. Something that breathes also those sleeping so that no one is alone. No one is alone. Something that is the beginning of love and also each part of how love is completed. Something so large, wherever we are not separate, which teaches again the way to start over. Night is the test, when grief lies uncovered and longing shows clear, when nothing we do can hasten Earth's turning, nor delay it. This may be adequate for the night, this holding, something that steadfastly breathes us, which we also are learning to breathe. Something that steadfastly breathes us, is with us, does not leave us, which we also, each one of us in our own way, not a perfect way, not a way with rules, not a way written in books, which each one of us in the sanctuary of our hearts, each one of us is also learning to breathe. You get to choose how you do that and what's comfortable for you. That's what you take into the night. That's what accompanies you in the emotional struggle that you will have if you are human. A theology adequate to the night. Is it perfect? Of course, for you. It's yours. Welcome home. So, friends, I suggest that we each make it our business to connect with that theology that is adequate for us, available to us in our human struggles, that can help us to grow into what Channing calls likeness to God. Likeness to God. Something that teaches us that we are not separate. Likeness to God teaches us again and again the way to start over when we make mistakes. Likeness to God. Not a God of exactings, as if love could be earned or subtracted. Something adequate to you in your struggles, something that fills in the cracks in your heart, your own, that can help us live into who we want to be. Progress, not perfection. You've heard that. Progress, not perfection. That's what I was talking to the kids about this morning. It's the progress, it's the trying, it's the bearing those cracks in the soul, it's the being willing to do that, it's the looking for what will fill and accompany us on our journey. That is what we're here to connect with. And that is what can help us live into our principles as individuals and as Unitarian Universalists. In his sermon, Likeness to God, actually it was an address given in Providence, Rhode Island, in 1828, Channing wrote, "I begin with observing what all indeed understand, that the likeness to God of which I propose to speak belongs to man's higher spiritual nature. It has its foundations in the original and essential capacity of humanity." It's yours. You're human, it's yours. You don't have to go looking for it. You were born with it. You were born with it. In proportion to these are unfolded by right and vigorous exertion, it is extended and brightened. So those aspects of us, when we pay attention to them, focus on them, try to improve and get the bowl just right, that's how the brightness within us begins to shine. So we struggle towards growth. We struggle towards growth because we are human strugglers. That doesn't mean it's all hard and difficult. I was just saying to a group I met with yesterday that, you know, the first line in Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled, is life is difficult. Yes, and beautiful and inspiring and exciting and full of love where we seek it out. We do struggle towards growth, and there are questions. Is emotional struggle always stifling? Well, no, we've each had experiences where it is right in the midst of that struggle that we discover our brightness, that we act better than we ever thought we could, that we act into the likeness of God, into the likeness of whatever that theology that accompanies you in the night is, that you live into that you become more than that through the challenges, through the stretches. I'm not great at doing my stretches for my back. I'm really not. But I pay a lot of attention to my spiritual stretches. You know, I've got morning routines. Some of them are physical and some of them are spiritual. I always do the spiritual ones. You know, 362 days a year on the average. The stretches, not so much. Not so much. Yeah. So friends, when you're in the midst of emotional turmoil, what do you or could you draw on to remember that your faith affirms inherent worth and dignity? Inherent worth and dignity. That's what Channing was talking about. Our likeness to God, our likeness to whatever our theology is, that's inherent worth and dignity. You know, talk about perfection. Have you ever bought like a set of hand-blown glassware? Well, I have, and they're my favorite glasses. And guess what? They come with a little statement on them that say, these imperfections are the beauty of these glasses. They're individuals. They are inherently beautiful because of their individuality, because of their little quirks and their bubbles and whatever. We affirm the inherent worth and dignity, the innate goodness of all people, rather than the innate depravity, which was the alternative before Unitarians and Universalists, each in their own way, said, no way. We're going to look for the beauty. We're going to shine. We're going to believe. We're going to search. for the beauty. So to learn to express the good that is sleeping within each of us now and has always been there and is awakening in every moment, to awaken to our potential for goodness by self-exertion every day, by faith in action, that's what our liberal faith is about and has always been about. Not about correct religious forms or ancient rituals or magic words or formulas, no. It's not about falling down on our face and trembling before some unapproachable sovereign. No. It's not about believing what are deemed to be the theologically correct, or may I say perfect, things that some priesthood or some church hierarchy or current consensus of fundamental opinion tell us to believe. Those things aren't wrong, but it's not what we're about. We're about living into our best inherent beauty. And as I say often, I've got a very easy job. I just have to stand here and reflect who you are, and it's very, very beautiful. You do a good job of living into the likeness of God. May we continue to do our best in all. Blessed be. And amen.